Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the Capital Club podcast. I'm your host, Brian Adams. Every week, we bring on some of the brightest leaders around the world to discuss issues facing high net worth individuals and family offices today.
Hello and welcome to the Capital Club podcast. Today with me, Chris Pearson. Chris is a globally recognized keynote speaker on digital executive protection, a cybersecurity thought leader, and board advisor for startups. He is frequently quoted by prominent trade and mainstream media, such as Bloomberg, Business Insider, CSO, and the Financial Times, and selected to speak at international events such as RSA, ISSA, and Secure World, among others. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So, you know, cybersecurity is one of those things that we've had a number of guests on the show, and it feels like we've covered everything. But then when I have another conversation with somebody such as yourself, who's an expert of the field, it's so quickly evolving and dynamic of a landscape that I feel like at least once a quarter, I have to have a new subject matter expert to come on because it's just really hard to keep up with. And continuously, when I talk to families, they are woefully unprepared and unsophisticated in this area. So I appreciate you coming on, giving your expertise.
No, I mean, it's great to be here. And as you said, yes, it's ever changing, right? The tactics are changing. The speed is changing. Things that used to work before, a little bit of nuance and all the rest. So you're really going to freshen it up so you know exactly what is happening and can kind of like harden yourself and your family to repel those attacks.
So can you give maybe just if we could scope out and give just a general landscape of what the threat assessment is right now?
So, you know, kind of in a few different places. Let's talk about corporations. Let's talk about individuals that are highly targeted, highly sought after. On the corporation side, we continue to see, right, cyber criminals and nation states getting even more sophisticated. You have, right, just a week ago, you have Microsoft announcing that there was penetration into the personal or into the corporate email accounts for the senior leadership team. Just yesterday, you had the same SEC announcement as it relates to HPE, HP Enterprises. These are massively, massively well-funded, you know, right? They have all the right people on the inside, and yet the attacks keep coming, taking advantage of infrastructure weaknesses, taking advantage of things that need to be patched, zero-day attacks, taking advantage of the human in the loop. We see those continuing to rise each and every day, and consumers see that through the news. Oh, hey, the X, Y, and Z company was compromised. You know, MGM was compromised and had a big data breach. People can't check into their rooms for a week. You have all those things happening on that side. You also do have, like I said, for a segment, which is more the defense industrial base and government side that's really, really focused on, right, stealing intellectual property, but also stealing our secrets and penetrating those different facilities as well. On the highly targeted side, right, high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals, high profile individuals, you have essentially similar attackers. So the cyber criminals there are focused on why go ahead and try to take down folks for $500 or $1,000 when you can actually get $30,000, $300,000, or $3 million. And those are some of the takes that we see. You also have nation states saying, hey, how do we actually get around the different blocks, the different regimes that are in place to actually stop business being transited, whether it be because anti-money laundering laws and different things that are happening here in Russia, North Korea, Iran, all the rest. How do they get around that? Well, they get around that by privateers or through actual government employees. Privateers are, you know, quasi-governmental. Maybe during the day they work for the government intelligence services, and at night they're part of cybercrime rings. Wink, wink, nod, nod. They don't get arrested, obviously, right? Always a little bit of a kicker goes back to the mother state. But those folks are targeting family offices. They're targeting high net worth individuals. They're targeting Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, because it's the same take as taking down a community bank or a mid-sized enterprise in terms of liquidity and cash. Really attractive targets. We've seen that increase last year. IC3, Internet Crime Complaint Center, the FBI's repository for all these things, you know, $10.3 billion reported in terms of fraud and scams. Now, most people don't even know what that is, maybe 10% of the people. So you add a zero on it, you're probably more accurate, about $100 billion. That's a fivefold increase from 2018. The new report has not come out for this year, but we'll have to look at that and see what's happening.
So I want to kind of piggyback on top of the comment that you just made previously in terms of the ultra high net worth family profile being targeted. There seems to be a disconnect oftentimes where potentially the family office itself really does a nice job on the cyber side. They have a sophisticated consultant they work with or potentially a CTO internally. But then when you go home and you leave the office, it's a very different space. What are you seeing in terms of that dichotomy and that disconnect?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about high profile people, high net worth, ultra net worth people, and family office dynamic in there, it's very hard to say, well, who are you right now? Are you acting as yourself, a high net worth individual? Are you acting as somebody that's attached to the family office, the philanthropic activities, or someone who may have a board seat back at the family owned business? And the answer is, well, I'm all of them. I am inextricably intertwined with all of those. And so I'm never not a target from any one of them. And it's the model is, yeah, really, it's akin to like way back in the medieval days, you know, you see a castle and it's like, you don't have to go over the moat. You don't have to go over the flaming tar pit. You don't have to go for where the defenses are the strongest. You know, there's that super secret bold entrance that's, you know, carved into the mountainside and down the rock quarry or whatever. You can get in that way into the castle and plunder it that way. Cyber criminals think the same way. Don't go in through the main gate. Don't go through the high walls. Where are you at your weakest? Family office, right? You're absolutely correct. Oftentimes they have, right, that consultant that kind of tries to keep them up to date and to do the basic things, but the personal devices and all the rest aren't. And that creates an exposure, a weak point there. Or maybe it's like, it's just the 501c3. It's our philanthropic. You know, we do all our art museum stuff out of here and all the rest. And they're not going to, right? No one's going to go in and attack that. But then maybe there's not a lot of money there. Maybe it's just for legal reasons. But maybe it's tied intellect from a technology perspective back into the family office where there is stuff. The fact of the matter is that it's all intertwined. We do see a massive drop off. When you talk about a professional organization or folks that are in their family business and they're actually at the business, you know, good controls, family office, okay controls, right? Depends. And then when you see them in their personal life, it's like, hey, I'm resting. Well, cyber criminals don't have a rest mode. And actually, when we, especially in the US, are resting, right, it's actually morning and other places where it's really popular for them to come and try to get us. So we really have to have that holistic approach when we talk about cyber.
So how do you, I mean, what are the questions to ask? Like, how do you begin to tackle that, to put together a comprehensive cybersecurity policy that encompasses the family office functionality as well as when people go home for the night?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those interesting things. On the inside of corporation, policy is good. When you're talking about families, family offices, and all the rest, I would skip the policy part. Let's just actually go solve it. You know, it could be a, yes, every accountant has to have dual factor on it, but let's not craft policies. Let's actually get it done. And it just becomes the bedrock. There are about 20 different things that are like low hanging fruit that can and should be done. Updates, dual factor authentication, you know, really endpoint detection response, not antivirus, but kind of like it. But there are a lot of things that can and should be done there. Let's just do them. And so really it's a, well, you could do it two ways. You can do a risk assessment. Or because every single one is going to come out the same, you can just go ahead and solve it. right? You can just go ahead and solve it. And you can implement all those controls and then assess what else do we need to do? Because those low-hanging fruit things are going to be the same exact thing. Sometimes I think people get, you know, kind of like stuck in the mud a little bit. And I will say this. Look, I'm a general counsel of some 22 years. So I'm not saying policy and law, rule, regulation, that, not at all. Just if you're going to go ahead and take one action and one action only, take the action of execution and active defense. Don't go ahead and do that. Well, let's go ahead and buy insurance. Let's go ahead and mark a policy. Let's go ahead and do a risk assessment. Let it sit somewhere. Go ahead and actually solve it. You can then go ahead and assess after that. And then as part of that plan, you can go ahead and insure. But you really want to. It's like driving a car. You might have health insurance. You might have the ability to have somebody come and like assess your driving skills. Really, at the end of the day, you probably need to be in a vehicle with airbags and you need to click it and make sure your seatbelt is fastened. Have active defense and active protection because you need it, both because of what you are doing and because of what others might, you know, hopefully not on purpose in a car, but due to you. And that's really what we want people to do.
Yeah, I like the active defense terminology. It's a great term. You know, somebody asked me the other day what themes I'm seeing in the family office, both from a technological perspective as well as a human resource perspective. And my immediate answer was just risk management overall, generally speaking. Somebody in-house, a general counsel, a COO, whatever the term is or the position is, but it's really that risk assessment. And I think that goes towards cyber, obviously, including insurance and everything else. Why is it that there seems to be a huge uptick in the ultra high net worth individual cohort being targeted these days?
Really, really good question. I agree with your prior comments. I mean, look, at the end of the day, in the United States, there are 5.9 million, just call it six, right, high net worth individuals. That's a lot of wealth. But it's also a really, really good finite target to go, really lock horns onto. They're geographically, many of them, right, they're going to be in similar same areas. And globally, 19.5 million. So this is a really, really juicy sweet spot for you, a cyber criminal, to lock onto, for you, a nation state, to lock onto. And when you consider that many of those have family offices or are tied directly to corporations, you know, whatever it is, you pick your favorite, whatever, you know, Heinz, you know, it's like, well, the Heinz family, and, you know, all of these things can be tied directly. It presents a really, really juicy target. And a few different things. Number one, you know who they are. The information is published by all sorts of folks. It's published. You publish it yourself as an individual. Hey, want to donate to the philanthropical art foundation or this foundation or that foundation or all the rest. So you're putting it out there. You set up different offices, family offices, where you actually aggregate all that wealth and you actually centralize it so that it's ripe for attack. Second, it's easy for cyber criminals to reach out and touch you. Your information is on data broker websites. Your information is on the deep web, dark web from all the data breaches. And that treasure trove allows for somebody to get your phone number, get your personal email address, get information about you, get your passwords that you use usually and try them on different accounts. All the information is out there. Third, it's a really, really ridiculously easy population to target. Once again, the controls are the highest inside the walls of corporate America. And the further out you get from that into your personal home, the controls are going to be less and less and less. Fourth, it's where the money is. Right? It's the same reason why we're at banks, where the money is. Inside families, inside generational wealth, inside family offices, that's where the money is. And you may say, we have all the right financial controls. You don't actually have to steal the actual money. You can target them through scams. You also can take all their personal pictures, videos, private moments, documents, trusts and estates. We have a number of these things that happen. Just extort them for it. Extort them for it. A trust and estate that nobody's seen, that the whole family will go ahead and argue for decades over, you go ahead and rip that from the Gmail account and then you send it to all the family members because, of course, right, the Gmail account's now been penetrated and you send it to all and you cause all holy hell in the family. People will pay extortion and ransom demands for not sending that information out there. All of those things together make it a really, really good target-rich environment.
Yeah, that's certainly been the case in terms of what we're seeing and feeling when we talk to families. The same token, I agree with everything you're saying, but it seems like just one more thing on this never-ending to-do list where now we have to be worried about XYZ cybersecurity, XYZ hostage issue. It's just overwhelming. And so how do you help manage people from a an exhaustion perspective of these threats that keep coming every single day across the board?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. When you think about, everyone has to do some form of risk management, risk governance, all the rest. The easiest ways to do it is, okay, make sure you have insurance for your home, auto, boats, yachts, umbrella, life insurance policy, stuff like that. Okay. You know, make sure you have your quote unquote, you know, more defensive mechanisms, locks and alarms and cameras and stuff like that. All of these things are usual items that you all consider. You don't want somebody breaking into your home, rifling through your personal, right? Maybe back to like the 90s, your VHS tapes, or you don't want somebody coming in your home and stealing your checkbook, or you don't want somebody kind of coming in your home and trashing the main area and, you know, stealing stuff and all the rest. All that we're talking about is the change of that from a physical world where there's kinetic energy, kinetic force, and something you can touch and feel and see into a digital medium. And so really it's remembering that it's all the same stuff. It's just different through that different medium. And so as a result, it's almost like you're doing all the same things from a pattern recognition perspective. But once again, you're just doing them differently. It's going to be, let's go to protect the iPhone, the iPad, the computer. Let's go protect your social media. Let's do those things. So it's all just, it's even social media. It's like, don't talk to strangers, you know, going down the road and stuff like that. Well, you know, same thing on social media. So it's really making sure that people know there's nothing to be scared about in terms of the digital realm. There's nothing that is necessarily net new in terms of you haven't seen it before. All this, the scams that actually happen in cyberspace are all the same scams that would happen in the old, you know, 10, 20 years ago, more in the physical world. And so it's really walking through that. I think a lot of times technologists, engineers, even cybersecurity practitioners, we make things too complicated. We make things too complicated, too scary, and put too much of a moat between us and the audience. Everything can be explained just like you're talking to your mom and your dad. Everything can be explained that way. And bringing people through that journey so they're with you. You don't want people just doing stuff or telling them to do stuff. You want to do stuff with them and for them and bring them through that journey. Everything should be an education. Everyone should be treated as though, right, they can handle it. And you move them through, but you also know and identify when things get a little bit too tough, when somebody is overwhelmed. I'll give you an example. Encrypted password managers. Yeah, everyone should be using them. You shouldn't write it down in the black book. You shouldn't put it in your notes. You shouldn't put it in your notes on your iPhone. You shouldn't put it in a, you know, special email that you carry around with you or printed out or stuff like that. No, you should be in an encrypted password manager. But that makes people really nervous. It's a harder skill set for many people. People get scared about it. They don't know what happens if it goes away. They don't know if that's going to be hacked and all the rest. And so it's one of those things where don't tell people they do it. Don't mandate that they do it. Bring people through a pattern that gives them options and choices and then be there with them. You know, one of the things that's it's actually our mission, the whole mission of Black Cloak is we protect digital lives. And going back to your question is how do you make it different? How is it different? How do you explain it? It's literally the same thing as your regular normal life. This is just the digital part of it where we focus and we want to come in holistically together with you to delight you, to protect you, to give you peace of mind.
Yeah, and to this recurring theme of prevention, not treatment, right? It goes a long way.
I'll give you an example. It's got to be prevention. It has to be prevention. We'll do both. But prevention is more important here on the digital realm. I'll give you an example. My car, Maserati's out in the front yard. I got insurance. Somebody comes by and steals a Maserati. I call the police and make an insurance claim. All the rest, I get a new Maserati. Easy, right? It exists in one place at one time. Now it's probably on a slow boat somewhere to be chop-shopped or whatever. My digital life, my pictures, my videos, my documents, my this, my that, they can exist in multiple places in multiple ways. They can be on my computer. They can be on a backup drive. They can be with my family. They could be with all the bad guys being shared everywhere. Once something is stolen digitally, it's gone forever. That's why protection is so important. You can't insure against nobody having possession of it if you aren't protecting it. And that's why you have to protect it on the front end.
Exceptional family offices, family enterprises, wealth management, and financial services organizations require superior leadership to successfully thrive in today's competitive environment. This is why I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Mac International. Mac International is recognized as the premier boutique firm that specializes in providing retained executive search and strategic human capital consulting solutions to single and multi-client family offices, family enterprises, and the full spectrum of wealth management advisory, investment management, and financial services firms that serve ultra-high net private investors and family offices on a national and international basis. If you're interested in learning more about Mac International, visit their website at macinternational.com. So what are some practical tips here? I mean, what are some actionable things that people, maybe not prescriptively doing, but questions to be asking, things to learn more about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a few practical steps here, like, you know, in terms of like some actionable things everyone can do, so to speak. So, you know, first one is this, is that everyone has a profile. It includes public information that's out there, your name, your address, phone number, email addresses. Make yourself a harder target to hit. They're called data brokers, 200 of them in the US about. They have your information, they sell it. It's a totally legal business, absolutely legal business. If you remove your information from those data brokers, you're harder target to hit and so less likely to have scams, right? Everybody can take advantage of that, can do that yourself, through third parties. But even then, you also can play a role of making sure information doesn't end up there. Don't give out your social security number to your doctors. You don't need to. You still get treatment, right? Make sure you're not carrying around your social security card. Make sure you're not giving out and filling out warranties and such. Make sure you have different shims that are in place, PO boxes, so to speak, and stuff. So reduce that information. That's number one. Number two, passwords are always going to be compromised. You use the same password different places. Maybe you use password vault, maybe don't. Yeah. But you always have to assume the password will be compromised. So that means you want to implement dual factor authentication on four different types of accounts. Just four. I'm not telling you, Brian, you got to spend the weekend 5 days and change 200 accounts into dual factor in this. I want you to do it in four accounts. Email, financial, social media, and healthcare. Those are the four types of accounts. You got three emails, two credit cards, two banks, whatever, four. So it's now up to seven. Two, three social media accounts. We're up to 10. And two healthcare. I don't know, CVS and the hospital. Sorry. Now you got 12 different things that I'm telling you. Want you to pay attention to 12 sites. 12 sites only. I don't want you boiling the ocean. 12 sites only. Implement dual factor authentication. Even if your username and password is stolen, all you either need your phone for a text message that comes to you that you read off or that you type in, or you put an authenticator much, much stronger, right, on the actual phone, like Google Authenticator, Authy, Microsoft Authenticator, all free. And you actually then enter the code, which changes every 12 seconds or every 30 seconds. You enter that code onto the website. That means that even if someone has your username and password, they can't log in without that. So that's the second thing. Third thing is make sure you have some type of, I say EDR, endpoint detection response. That's what really this population needs. But consumer-based antivirus is better than nothing. So make sure it's on a cell phone, tablet, computer. Make sure, four, you're updating your devices. Your devices, even if you got everything of everything, you got the razor wire, you got the machine guns, you got the arrows, you got the flaming tar pits, you got everything going on in your devices. If it's not updated, that means a cyber criminal can use that. They can literally just scan. They can use that to go ahead and break into your device. It's got to be updated. Security patches come out all the time. Update your device. If you say, hey, I can't, I won't, I whatever, the simple beg at the very least would be update all your devices once a month. You press go on all the updates, go out to Starbucks, come back. They're rebooted, all the rest, you're good. Do that once a month. And then the fifth thing, really, really super important, harden the human. Harden the human means make sure that you are hardening yourself with knowledge about scams and tactics of cyber criminals. And when I say you, I mean you, your husband, wife, spouse, significant other, and the kids. Go up to mom and dad, go across to, especially in this space, go across to the brothers and sisters and go down, because they will use, and we see lots of these different tactics, we'll use a, hey, so-and-so's in a vehicle accident. They're in the hospital. We need X, Y, and Z. It's got to be now. You know, you can hear the hospital sounds in the background, or the virtual kidnapping. And now with AI, you hear it even more, right? A real voice, a real screen that is based off of you and your voice or those of your family members. Harden the human. So data broker, reduce and shrink the attack surface. Second, make sure you have dual factor authentication on the key 12 accounts. Three, antivirus, right? Endpoint detection response, antivirus on all those devices. Four, make sure you update things. And five, harden the human, make you a harder target to hit. Those are things everyone can do.
Yeah, it's super helpful. And I love how concise that is and manageable, because one of the other broad themes that I want to talk to you about is it's like physical security or anything else. You can overdo it at some point, right? And you start getting diminishing returns at a certain point. So how do you kind of balance that concept of convenience and safety?
So, I mean, it's like the one word is pay attention to friction. Know when friction occurs. We here at Black Cloak pay a lot of attention to friction and friction points. And we actually do it by talking to people, knowing, hearing from them, sampling the population, sampling new folks, actually even sitting in people's homes, making sure we know what and where and when and how people are going to react to different things that we might want to do and all the rest. But we have to find a way through that. And so we're very much able to do that on the front end. I think it's important to make sure that you build right ease and simplicity into the platform. So it has to be something that everyone can see, understand. You have to really reduce it down to the lowest common denominator. And on that point, it's actually really, really important. It's like multiple patents in my name, 5, 6 patents in my name. Ringo is super high tech. It's not the goal. The goal isn't to show how much you know. The goal is to try to get the individual to move as far as they can into a better place from a cybersecurity and privacy perspective. Where they're delighted, where they've had an enjoyable experience, where they'll continue with the program over 5, 10 years, and they won't rebuff suggestions because things that you've done in the past still work. They work today and they'll work in the future. So you really want to pay attention to that. Friction has to be at a massive all-time low. I'll give you an example. You want to, you know, it's a new year. Everyone wants to lose weight. Drop 20 pounds. You go into the doctor. The doctor says, perfect. I want you to only eat chicken, only eat fish. Right? No Oreos, no this, no that, and no alcohol, no whiskey. And you got to go run 20 miles a day. Well, I mean, you'll probably be super healthy, maybe minus the whiskey. You'd be really, really healthy. You'll lose a ton of weight. But it's like, no one's going to do that past a week. How about it's like one chicken dinner a week, one seafood dinner a week, lay off the Oreos. Let's limit alcohol to whatever it is, 5 drinks a week. I don't know. And hey, I want you to start out with walking half a mile three times a week, a mile three times. Let's bring them through the journey. Same thing in wealth management. You don't come in and say, oh my God, we got 500 things we want you to do. We got to do the trust and estate and the will stuff. And we got to do the tax thing. And we got to look at the new tax reforms that are coming down. And we got to re-enable all the homes and the yacht and this and that. And we got to shift different things. And what are we doing on the 529? No. Let's go ahead and find out what are their long-term goals. And then let's show them the path to those each quarter, each year, because we're in a relationship. Wealth managers, private wealth managers, REITs, right? Selling our knowledge, expertise, access, and a relationship. And it's a relationship that is so important. And that's long-term. You don't have to blitzkrieg people. You don't have to smother them with 200 things. That's not going to endure to anyone's benefit. Not at all.
What's one thing, there might be multiple things, but something that you're seeing live on the ground that is not being reported on right at this moment comes to cyber?
We're generally about 3 to 6 months ahead of FBI warnings on like all things. Our threat intelligence team sees these things. We see them with our clients. And we have one specific type of an incident that we've now seen happen multiple times. A little bit scary, quite honestly. So usual type of a scam. There'd be some type of tech support scam, a scareware scam, something that causes you to dial a number that you believe is going to help you. It could be a fake Microsoft security number, fake Apple security number, a bill that you get, and it's like, call here if this isn't yours, and you call the number. You reach out in some form of fashion. They say, virus on the computer, something. And there's some indicia, some notion of, hey, these guys are going to help you solve it. And by the way, the people that you actually end up calling are the most helpful, most pleasant customer service people that you would ever get. Because they're cyber criminals, and they literally earn part of your take. So they want to do a great job. They'll hold your hand for hours. Well, moves from a, hey, you got a virus on your computer, let's say in this situation, from a virus on your computer to, hey, we also noticed that there's a problem with your bank account. Let us connect you in directly because we're here to help you with your bank representative, Acme Bank. And they say, yeah, we've actually seen some fraud on your account. You need to go ahead and close the accounts, ship them over. Let's go ahead and get this done. Can you go to the bank? Can you withdraw the money so we can redeposit into new accounts? Person, right? They go over to the bank, they withdraw the money. And now they're sitting on $100,000 of cold, hard cash. In the past, it's been a go ahead and mail it out type of thing, or it's been lower dollar denominations and mail it out, things under $10,000. What we have actually just seen is the start of get the money, keep it. We're going to have a representative from the FDIC come by and secure the funds and redeposit it for you. And now what you say is, for every, this is a person on the ground, they're called a mule, an individual on the ground that is part of the organized criminal syndicate that is sent out on a task of go to One Main Street. You know, it's going to be Bob and Judy. Go ahead and they're going to, you know, the request is $100,000 from them. You're going to safeguard the money, wear your FDIC jacket, so to speak. You're going to receive the money from them. You're going to deposit it. And you get that, and I don't know what, you know, 3% is hit their take, and then everybody takes a little bit. But actually making physical contact, that is a new trend that is just happening and is starting to kind of, you know, gain some traction, because now you have a person that came there in all rest. The other interesting thing is that for every single time you do that, the cyber criminal syndicate actually is burning one of their members. Like I say, it could be a mule that's just like tangential, right? They obviously don't care about them, but a mule, and so they're in and out for 3 months. Then they get caught or something happens, but they're still burning a person that has a connection, that has a connection, that has a connection back to the mothership. That's really, really dangerous when you talk about risk to the cybercrime gang and the organized criminal syndicate. But we're seeing it happen, and it's shocking because, of course, physical contact could, we haven't seen it yet, could result in physical violence or other things.
Yeah, I mean, we should outlaw checks in America. It's like us in Australia, I think, are the only place that still use them. It's ridiculous. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for coming on. This is a hugely important topic, and you've done a nice job in bringing it forth in a cogent manner that's not scary. It's accessible to people. So thank you for this and all the work that you do. If I was going to summarize this, I'd say that active defense would be the big takeaway for people. Anything else that you want people to walk away from the conversation with?
I think really, you know, it's like, so we tell stories and they get scary and they get this and they get that. Don't put your feet in cement. Everything of what we just described can be mitigated. Everything of what we described can be mitigated. Again, nothing, you know, brings you down to 0%. It can be mitigated. You can shrink that way down. You can go ahead and have great privacy, great cybersecurity, great home protection, and, you know, kind of great peace of mind. You can actually have all that. There are things here that can be done. There are things here that solutions can be brought to bear, and it's not something that's going to cause friction, cause too much time, and you'll sleep better, you'll be happier, and extend out to your family and all the rest. This is solvable. Once again, I want to make sure nothing is 0% or 100%, you know, which way you want to go. Nothing is that. But this is absolutely something that can be mitigated and can be brought under control, and there are options out there. Absolutely are options out there. So don't get scared and do nothing. Take some action. I gave 5 key things that you can do. If you can't do it yourself, reach out for help. But there are things that can be done to solve this and really mitigate the chances and reduce the risks that are out there for you and your family. Really, that's the key thing, your family as well.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I definitely want people to be vigilant. This is a priority. Take it seriously, yeah. But don't let it overwhelm you. Chris, thank you for coming on. For our listeners, please do leave us a review and a rating. Let us know your favorite part of the conversation. Chris, if people are interested in connecting with you and learning more about the firm and your services, yeah, what's the best way for them to find out more?
Yeah, I mean, you know, best way is going to blackcloak.io, blackcloak.io, blackcloak.io. Go there. Fill out a form for more information. And, you know, we have folks that are ready to help you, ready to listen, ready to point you in the right direction. A lot of good materials there, but we're always, always happy. It's always best when you know who you're talking to, know who you're dealing with. We're always happy to get on with you and your family and listen to some of the things that you want to improve, some of the things that are struggles. Some of the, unfortunately, you may have negative stories of, hey, identity theft or other thefts that have happened or impacts from cybercrime. Want to hear what you're concerned about and want to listen to that. Want to tell you how we think we can help you solve it. Partnership, a relationship.
That's wonderful. And the question that we ask people that come on the show, do you have a daily practice that helps bring peace to your lives?
Oh my gosh. Do I have a daily practice that brings peace to my life?
I ask every single guest the same question. And I don't let them know I'm going to ask you. So
I was about to say, and you don't let them know that you're going to ask you. So I read every single day. So no matter what, kind of my last activity is reading every single night, kind of clear the mind, clear the thoughts, get absorbed in something that I'm kind of passionate about. So that's one of the really big things that gets me into that kind of like little bit of that zen-like state. Yeah.
Yeah. I read before I go to bed too. So that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. Chris, thank you so much for coming on, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Brian, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.